Hey, it's Bill. This is week three of the SOS PGH Concert Series pre-shows. With me currently live, we have Dominic and Jazz from Half Wheel. Dominic, a solo artist.
Yes, sir.
And Brian from the Red Lines we'll hear from later. He is actually at practice with the Red Lines. So like last week, we pre-recorded one of the band members and have two live. So with that said, right below us, you'll see a scroll bar giving the information about this week's show, which is tomorrow, February 11th at 6 p.m., around 6 to 8-ish. you can purchase tickets at SOS2020PGH.com or .org. I'm really messing it up. Let's try that again. SOS2020PGH.org/concerts. It is $3 to watch just one concert, or $10 if you'd like to watch all four of them and get video on demand access for a year, which includes videos that you've seen partial peeks into throughout the last month or so on Facebook, and music videos from musicians all over the Pittsburgh area. And all four of the live streams will also be made available for that year as well. That's the route I went.
That's the best.
$10 seemed like a no-brainer for all of that.
Right.
So, again, if you want to check out the Red Lines, Half Wheel, and Dominic live tomorrow from Next Door Cafe at In Stuff Music at 6 p.m., just go to sos2020pgh.org/concerts. Hey, I think I got the advertising. Well, that portion of the advertising out of the way.
Got it.
So, Jazz, I do want to start off with a question for you first.
Okay.
And I was thinking about asking it before we had our conversation earlier, but you kind of made me decide that it had to be asked right off the bat.
All right.
Half Wheel, for the most part, is a two-piece.
But
not tomorrow.
Correct.
It
started out as a two-piece because we started out as an instrumental band, Sean Nestor and myself, and we were doing music for my bicycling documentaries. So we did three albums that were all instrumentals, and we used them for that, and we used them for a couple soundtracks for some clients that I had too. And then the last album we did, bunch of tunes, like some covers, two originals, and there were vocals on it. So Sean sang and I did all the music for the most part. We had some guest musicians and stuff. So we've played before and we had a backing band. Well, I don't want to say backing band. We had a band, the Half Wheel band. And so we have the same drummer playing now, Jamie Linhart. On bass guitar, we have Paul Ricchetti, and we have Tony Ramirez on guitar. Then I play 12 string and Sean sings. So we are a band now. And, we weren't before because nobody played out in 2020. So we felt that it was time to put the band together and start playing shows. And we're doing this show. We have another outdoor show on the 29th of May somewhere. And then I'm working with an agent in New York that is hopefully going to get us some more gigs up around that area. So that's the story. So we are a band now, officially.
And I'll switch over to Dominic. So you are one of the people that I know the least about on this concert series.
Yes. Yes. I've been gone for a long time, actually. So I've been living in New Orleans for the past 20 some years. So I'm back home in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Some folks like to refer it as, and of course it's been really hard, but it's been a blessing. It really has. Thankful for family to help me keep going, and my girl, and the dog, and the car that made it from New Orleans to Pittsburgh. And only thing I don't like is all this snow. You guys told me that Pittsburgh hasn't had any snow in like a million years. Well, apparently it was way 20 years for me to get here, back home.
They're calling for another 3 to 5 tonight.
Of course. You know, it's all right. You know, go and help Dad shovel the snow, you know. So for all those years I haven't been around, I'm trying to make up for it, I guess. You know.
So what did you move to New Orleans because of music or something else?
Well, you know, I've been doing music in Pittsburgh since I was a kid. You know, I remember playing shows since, you know, when I was barely 16 at the Electric Banana. And then when I basically hit drinking age, I guess you could say, I was playing at Graffiti and, you know, Decade and lots of different places. Unfortunately, most of them not here anymore, but there's a lot of new venues around nowadays. And I needed a change. I needed a change of scenery is good sometimes. And I just wanted to really delve into my own thing. And I just figured, go to a place that has music and no one knows who you are. That's a good way to start over if you really want to start over. So it was really good. And I tell everyone, I did my time. I did 20 years plus there. I'm still alive and well. And it is good to be back home and with family and with good friends. And even just hooking back up with my dear friend Rocky Lamondi, you know, and getting me involved in all this. And him and I are been working hard on some new recordings, so I'm really excited to get those out real soon, hopefully little by little. I'm gonna kind of leak one song at a time type thing, but it was a beautiful experience. Played a lot of shows with a lot of amazing musicians, but it really is good being back home and seeing. I'm feeling a lot of positivity in the music scene as opposed to 20 some years ago when I was kind of fed up and walked away and wanted to go to a different place to kind of do my thing. And I see coming home now after all this time, so many good positive things are happening regardless of what's going on in the world today. I feel that the music scene just seems stronger to me, and things like this I think really help sometimes, like bring people together, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing how the how all of this has morphed.
Hold on. Yeah.
I meant to bring everybody on the screen. There it is. how it has morphed. Like, it started out with the pandemic, everything shutting down, and all these musicians have found ways to continue on. But at the same time, they realize that if they want to get out again, they need to support the venues that have been supporting them, which is what I've been hearing from the musicians. Right.
And I think it works both ways. You know, I can't really speak for the scene as it is right now, because like I said, I just came home, and, but I could see the positivity. I could see that there's a lot of new spots to play at. Some have closed, unfortunately, because of this. I also hope that the venues turn around and go, wow, all these musicians are really trying to help us clubs out. We should help the musicians. That would be nice too, because the one thing that I have heard is like, wow, I've been playing music all my life, Dominic, and I never can make a living out of it. And that kills me, you know, because you know, you're going to pay someone millions of dollars to throw a football around. And me and my cousins used to do that in the alleyways, you know what I mean, when we were little kids, you know, for nothing.
Right.
And it's kind of funny when people say, well, what do you do? I was like, oh, I'm a musician. Oh, that's cool. What else do you do? You know, they don't say that like, well, I'm a brain surgeon. Oh, that's great. What else do you do? You know, that never comes up, you know.
My son told me one time that he's going to find a cure for cancer and then he's going to get a different job.
Bless him, man. Yeah, I hope he does, man. I have complete faith in the young generation. I have a little boy in New Orleans that I love and miss every day, but he's there and daddy's here trying to get things together. And you know, for a guy that played music every single day to then bam, you're not playing at all. And yeah, I made a living out of it, but I don't have any in the bank in case something happens, and I'm not getting a pension for playing my guitar, and I'm not getting unemployment for all that stuff. So there's all that stuff, you know, that you have to kind of go through. But I think that every musician should get paid for what they do. And, you know, we have the love for it, of course, but I mean, we also have to eat too. You know? And guitars are expensive, aren't they now?
Some of the clubs make the mistake of saying, well, you know, we can't really pay you, but we'll give you free beer. It's like, hey, it's your funeral. Yeah. We tend to drink a lot.
Well, yeah, yeah. Don't
pay us, it might be cheaper.
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
I don't drink anymore, so they better start paying me. they can't get me with a bottle of tequila anymore.
I quit drinking for good the other day. I only drink for evil now.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Jazz, you're in clearly Half Wheel, but you're also in Homicide Black and Silk Nine and maybe some other bands that I don't know about.
Probably, yeah.
but not maybe not uniquely to you, but you and, well, Steve and Jen that are in this project are also affected with your daily lives, your businesses.
Yeah.
Do you want to expand on that a little bit?
So I own you're talking about like Rattle Clack and all that?
Yep.
Okay. So I own a company called Rattle Clack Entertainment, and people are always like, well, what is it exactly that you do? And excuse me, it's basically a audio video production company. We do shows all around the country. Actually we do international stuff. Europe, been, you know, all over the place. So we do these shows for production shows for events, conferences, concerts, all kinds of stuff. Then in addition to that, I have a little independent label, if you will, recording studio. So I record bands and stuff. I just got done doing Parabellum's last two singles. We just got done tracking Common Crown couple weeks ago too. So I do a lot of that kind of stuff. And what happened to me, in addition to losing all the band shows, but I mean, that's how I make my living, between the bands and Rattle Clack. I don't have a job. Like, that is my existence. And in March, I had more shows in 2020 than I could handle. I mean, I was going all over the place, you know, Japan, Munich, Germany, Palm Springs, Florida, you know, you name it, I was going there. And I just bought, literally, I'd gotten off the phone, I bought about $3,000 worth of airline tickets on whatever it was, March 4th or so. And by March 6th, every single show that I had for 2020 canceled.
Oh, wow.
Like, every single one. I'm losing shows already for 2022, the first quarter. Now, and the problem is, and this is what people don't understand when they're like, well, you need to just go out and get another job. Now, everything I've done in my existence up to this point has been in the music industry or related. So every one of my specialties is there. I went to school for it. I've lived it. I had a record deal with Columbia Records. I toured the country with bands. Like, it's all I do. And the people that are like, well, you know, you just need to maybe get another job. It's like, what you don't understand is it's not a company that went under. It's an entire industry. The industry isn't there anymore. So all the venues are closed. I mean, you know, yeah, they're starting to open back up slowly, but all the venues are down, all the events, all the conferences, all the corporate meetings. So then that has a ripple effect.
But they could do a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, don't get me started on, cause that's a whole nother, that's a sit around and have a beer at a bar conversation.
Right.
Well, you know, my industry collapsed. It wasn't just like, hey, I work for a company and that company went out of business. Like, everything I do, just done, you know, gone. So it's trying to come back. The problem is when you do international conferences and stuff, it isn't like just doing an event and you're going to have people from Pittsburgh. We're trying to do a show in Munich, Germany, and we don't know what their lockdown regulations are going to be. Well, if you're an exhibitor and you want to exhibit a new product or, you know, whatever, you're not going to take a chance on a show that's in January of 2022 because you don't know if you're going to get return on that. You know what I mean? So a lot of these shows are doing what the bands are doing, like conferences and stuff like that. They're trying to do these virtual shows, and it's cool. It ain't the same. I mean, you know, I love the whole concert series that everybody should watch.
Nice. I love seeing you do that because I do that every time I'm on the camera.
Yeah, I'm like a weatherman here. You see, we're getting snow over here, and yeah, I do that. But you know, it's cool. It ain't the same. I mean, I loved watching the concert last week with Common Crown and Borster Boys and Blackridge. But I would have really loved to have been in a club seeing them. I mean, I'm sure. Like Dominic, I'm sure you got the same feeling. Like, it's just not the same when you don't have the audience there.
Yeah, you definitely need that. It's, you know, that's part of it. I mean, that was the beauty of even, you know, just playing the gigs every single day in little bars in New Orleans. You know, you'd see people walking down the street with their drinks, you know, and be like, come on in here, you know, and play them a song, and they hoot and holler and everything and yell Mardi Gras, even though it wasn't Mardi Gras, but you know, things like that. I mean, it was that back and forth, you know, you give out all this energy and you need some of that energy back, and then you give it back. It's that beautiful game that happens between a musician and their audience, you know, and to tell you the truth, you know, I always like write music as a healer, but it really is. Music does heal. It's just a proven thing how music is good for the soul. It's good for the mind. It's good for the heart. You know, it can take you away when you need to be taken away, you know, it's, to me, it's everything. And I think we really need to try to get back to it. I know it's hard because everything's going on, you know, and even if you do get a gig and you play live, it's that weird, like, well, we can't really say hello to one another. We'll say hello by like far away from one another, but that connection, you know, it gets lost when it's like this type of thing, computer stuff and things, you know.
And the novelty of the whole Zoom meeting and this kind of stuff has worn off as well, because like when the pandemic first came into being, man, I had friends and would all have virtual happy hours and would do this, like, you know, every like Tuesday, Thursday, whatever night,
right?
And now it's just like the last thing I want to do is get on my computer and do another like I think everybody's like, okay, it's cool, you know, and you know, it's cool that we have the technology, but you can't replace going to see a band. I mean, it's just experience.
There's that experience, exactly, brother. I'm with you wholeheartedly on that. It really is that, you know, and you know, and that's not even without saying, you know, like such as yourself and me as well, I don't have any money coming in.
Right.
So it's kind of like we're hung out to dry, and like, you know, go pack groceries. I was like, you go pack groceries. You know what I mean? I want to go play my music, you know? It's just a really weird thing. In certain places they'll have it, certain places won't. So what's going on, you know? But I really hope that we do get back to it. I hope that things like this do help. But yeah, I wish I could, you know, just snap my fingers and, hey man, we're gonna go play all these gigs at these clubs. We're hitting the road this summer for these shows, and you know, that would be great. And hopefully, maybe sooner than later.
and that's the concern with doing a show or an event like this, because the bands aren't going to go away. We're, you know, eventually when everything comes back, the bands are still going to be there. But if all the clubs are gone, then
right,
we're gonna have to start throwing house parties to have people see our music.
And that's the truth of it all. So, and you know, some people say, "Oh man, well this club, they got money, man." I was like, "Yeah, okay, maybe they got a nice car, and I have to see if I have enough money to take a bus somewhere." You know, that's fine. But the thing is that they also need money. They have employees. You know, there are a lot of people don't realize it. When you own a club, you don't just say, "I'm going to open today, turn on the lights and turn the PA on, and okay." Well, you need your bartenders. You need, and if you serve food, you know, and those bills keep coming. And if, especially if you don't even own the building, you know, they don't care that something's going on. I know that our landlords back in NOLA didn't care. They didn't even know that there was a pandemic happening. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, so, well, you know, got $200. That'll make us drive to, you know, Pittsburgh instead, you know, so whatever, you know. But I mean, yes, for sure. The venues, they definitely need to get that, you know, money back going too.
I have a shot in the dark question for you, Dominic.
Sure.
Do you know Keith Hawkins?
I'm so bad with names. I don't know. I might, maybe to see. I don't know.
He's a drummer originally from the Pittsburgh area that now lives in New Orleans and is making his money by being a session drummer and playing.
Doing session work?
Session work. And he just joined a band called Ugly like last week.
How long has he been in New Orleans?
You know, I don't honestly know. He's a co-host of another podcast. It's called the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
I gotta check that.
It's cool. They record on Tuesday nights. I'll send you a link when we're done.
All right, right on.
But the main host. Well, have you heard of Lily V6?
I have since I've been here. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. It's Lou Lombardi. It's his show. Lily is okay. Lily and Keith are co-hosts.
Okay.
And they do it kind of like we're doing it right now, except Lily and Lou are next door neighbors. So she goes over to the studio and then they Zoom Keith in.
Oh, right on. Right on. But,
I've probably been watching that show for almost a year and a half now. Like, I can't remember how I found it, but I watch it religiously. It's awesome.
Yeah, this is like, I know you were saying how you're like, oh man, like getting on these Zoom things, and there's a lot of that. Like for me, this is all new. I've never talked to a computer with people on it before, you know? So it's a very, very new thing.
I have been doing this since 2004, so not not necessarily with the video portion, but podcasting and streaming radio stations, and so I've been at it for a while.
Right on. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
In fact, my Pennsylvania Rock Show is on episode 554 as of this Friday.
That's great, man.
A bunch of podcast groups, and somebody posted today, how do you determine when your season's over? And I responded, don't ask me. I'm on season one, episode 554. So you kind of covered already, Dominic, how you got introduced to the project through Rocky. Jazz, how did Halfwill get brought in?
So I did a compilation CD in 2020 with a bunch of Pittsburgh bands. Royal Honey was one of the bands, and Eric Roger, the guitar player, is the guy that wrote SOS. And so he called me up or texted me, said, "Hey, you know, do you and Sean want to come down and sing on this?" And I was like, "Sure." And it literally was that quick. And then I think that's where I met Dominic.
Uh-huh.
You were there at the vault at the session, and then
Great studio, man.
Yeah.
I'd never been, you know, so when I walked in there, I was like, oh, nice.
Yeah.
And then I saw the board and I fell in love.
Yeah, Bob McCutcheon is
he's a good awesome, guy. Man.
And then, so then Rocky Lamont from Brewster Boys was doing the production, I guess.
He's the producer man.
Yeah, so I talked to him about us doing this, and he said, well, you know, when can you do it on such and such a date? And I'm like, sure. You know, like, I don't have a band assembled, but we'll get it together by then. You know, we got 3 weeks, you know. So, so yeah, we put it together, and that's how it all happened for us. Pretty simple, actually.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's better to have something to work towards rather than the other way around. You know, like, we knew we had to have a band put together by such and such date, and I have, you know, we have different musicians that we jam with, so it wasn't necessarily difficult. I just wanted to make sure that we pulled it off and kind of played the songs the way they should be. So the group of guys that we have one other musician that kind of has an open, open-ended agreement with us that he jams with us whenever he can, but he couldn't make this show. So, but he's worked on some of the songs with us at the studio and stuff. But
is he a drummer?
He's a guitar player.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Quite a good one. So better than me, but that's not saying much.
I was thinking you were talking about Matt, because he tells me that you call him in the middle of the day and he goes out and records stuff.
Yeah. Every so often I'll call him. I'll be like, or, you know, I'll text him. I'll be like, Matt, what are you doing? Nothing. You want to come record a song? Yep. He'll be here like a half hour.
That man's in like 273 bands or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how to keep track.
I tell the story all the time. My Pennsylvania rock show, when it first started, I had like music from 3 or 4 bands that I was designing websites for. And he showed up and handed me a shopping bag full of CDs. He said, here, play this. I was like,
and he probably plays drums on all of them, right?
But yeah,
he's played drums for a couple of the Half Wheel tunes too.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. We did our last album's called Good Days, and it ended up being a bunch of covers because I never intended to put it out as an album. I was so busy at the beginning of the year, like I was saying, and I was like, I'm just going to record a bunch of songs, like, and maybe I'll release one every month. Well, then once all the lockdowns came, I had nothing to do but record. So I just kept recording these songs. So I recorded a song by Vangelis, the guy that did Chariots of Fire. And it's a song called Ask the Mountains. And it's really bizarre. Like, if you look it up on YouTube, you'll be like, yeah, you recorded this. I'm like, yeah. But that's the one that Matt played drums on. And I made the mistake of telling him what the song was the night before he came over. And
this story.
Yeah, he comes over, and the first thing he says, he looks at me and goes, I don't really like this song. I said, don't worry, we're doing it a little different. It's a trippy tune, but he did a great job as always. So,
right on.
But yeah.
Hey, so Jazz, I'm going to ask some classic PA rock show questions. So I was going to say, you know what's coming, and Dominic not so much. So I'm gonna spare Dominic and ask you one first, so he has an idea of where we're headed here. So there's been some rockumentaries recently, like, you know, Dirt and Bohemian Rhapsody, which I just watched for the first time last week.
I saw it on an airplane. I don't know if I got the full effect of it. Did I ever tell you my airplane story about watching movies?
No.
Do you want to hear it real quick?
Let me ask the question first.
Okay. Afterwards. I tried to avoid the question.
I know. You forget my day job is teaching.
I know.
If you could be in a rockumentary, which musician would you want to portray?
Ooh. So I'm just the actor. I'm not actually like that person in real life.
Nope, you're the actor.
I'm the actor.
You don't have to look like them.
Yeah, man, that's a good question. I don't probably. Who played Tommy Lee in The Dirt? Was that Machine Gun Kelly or whatever his name is?
Yeah.
I'd do that. I'd be Tommy Lee. Why not?
Hey, Dominic, I'm going to give you the same question.
In a or a rockumentary or a documentary?
Right.
We could go with the classic, right, and do the Val Kilmer with the Doors thing, right?
Ooh,
you could. Do the whole Jim Morrison thing, the driving around and getting fat and, you know, lighting things on fire and stuff like that. Yeah, that'd be cool, you know, do the whole Val Kilmer thing, you know, because then I could like ease into the whole Tombstone thing, you know, be Doc Holliday.
I love I'll be your Huckleberry. I love that line. That's right. Hey, so you're still up on the screen. I'm going to give you the next one.
Okay.
Plus, I think I probably already asked Jazz this one 100 times. If you were able to sit on that proverbial bench for an hour and speak to any musician in the history of the world, but only ask one question, who would you sit with and what would you ask them?
I would sit with Frank Zappa and I would ask why. That's it. Yeah. Being vague, I guess. Yeah. But he'll understand.
Okay, Jazz, do you have a 101st answer to this?
Yeah, let's see. I'm sitting with somebody, and what was the question?
And you can only ask one question.
John Denver.
Well,
why didn't you check the gas before you left, buddy? I mean, assuming I can talk to him in heaven or hell or.
Hey, I said the history of the world, so you're good.
All right. Yeah. John, why didn't you check the gas tank?
Okay, Jazz. If I was flipping through my social studies book that I don't teach from anymore.
Okay.
Yes. I wasn't a fan of teaching social studies. And I found Half Will in the social studies book. Why would you be included?
What year did the social studies book come out? Is it a new one or is it from the 40s?
It's a new one.
It's a new one?
Yes.
Why would we be in there? Well, first off, it's a bicycling term, so it would probably list that. And then as a little footnote, it would say this awesome instrumental band that actually started to sing on songs that had two guys from Homicide Black and something like that. How's that for a bad answer? You catch me off guard with these questions.
I know.
Right?
Okay, Dominic.
Same question. What now? Repeat that question one more time.
So I find you in my social studies book. Why are you there?
Probably because of the nose. I think I'm in the dictionary too under Roman noses.
I like that answer. Okay. Let's see. Without breaking the space-time continuum.
Oh, jeez.
Uh-oh.
See, he knows this one. What band would you go back in time and follow around for a year?
What band would I go back in time and follow around for a year?
Mm-hmm.
Man.
The full effect. You get to do whatever they do.
I would go and follow me around when I used to play shows every single day. And I would say, instead of spending all that money that you just made on the bartender, getting more booze that you don't need, stick it in your pocket so you have it for a rainy day, such as all of 2020.
Okay, Jazz, you're up.
Okay. What band would I follow around for a year? The Cure. During the Wish tour. Yeah. Okay. And then I'd kind of like weasel my way into like being in the band somehow.
Well, here, since you said that, chances are that there is an instrument that you play that they would be willing to let you play.
Right.
I don't know if we have enough time for you to name all of them, but do you want to name some of the things you know how to play that are off the wall?
I'm really good at playing the radio. That's my specialty. guitar, bass, drums, keyboard. I play diatonic strum sticks and three string guitars. I just built a three string guitar.
I saw that.
That one's chromatic, but I kind of like finding these like weird, not weird, but not traditional instruments. So I have a dulcimer, I have a mandolin, and that's not like weird, but you just don't, you know, you don't see a lot of bands doing that in the club scene. I have, let's see, what is it? It's February. So I've got 8.5 more months until my next instrument comes in, and that's a hurdy-gurdy. So I ordered a hurdy-gurdy and have to learn how to play that. So that'll be probably the neatest instrument that I will own in about 8 months. So I ordered it, there was a 15-month waiting list.
Wow.
I don't know how to play it. I've never played one, but
that's cool. Right?
So. Hey, Jazz, can you narrow it down to the moment that you realized that you wanted to work in the music industry?
Yeah, it was 1976. I was in the single digits of my life. And
do you know what month?
It was probably like June or July.
Okay, I was negative. But go ahead. Sorry.
So my family went out to the West Coast to hang out with my West Coast family. And my cousin John, my brother's 6 years older than me, and my cousin John's like 8 years older than me, something like that. And he had Kiss Destroyer. And I just remember.
I love that album.
Yeah, it's best.
Great record.
My favorite Kiss album. And it just, that was it. As soon as I heard, you know, because especially at that age and seeing what they were doing at the time, it's like, what is this? Like, you know, not only did they have the music, but you looked at the album covers, you're like, what the heck is going on here? You know what I mean? I mean, nowadays, everybody does that. You know, Slipknot has the masks and all these bands do all, but like back then, you know, what, you have Crosby, Stills and Nash and all those types of bands, and all of a sudden Kiss comes out in makeup, you know, that was it. I mean, hands down. And I actually, on that trip, I actually got my first acoustic guitar in Tijuana, and I still own it. It's broken up, but I still own it. I have it in the room over there. And it was, you know, the most god-awful guitar ever. Like, the strings are like that fretboard, you know, on the neck, you know, but whatever. It's a story. I got my first guitar in Tijuana, and it was really difficult to play. And I remember, like, you know, this is how much we didn't know back then, because, you know, I'm like, whatever, 6 years old, trying to play this thing and can't play it. And my brother says to me, why don't you start playing bass like Gene Simmons? Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I'm six. My fingers are the size, you know. I'm going to play bass. So now I'm 6 years old trying to play a bass guitar with, you know. Yeah, it was. But, yeah, eventually I stuck with it, and here I am now, and there you have it.
Yeah, that Destroyer album came out in 76, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, see,
whatever year that was, 76, 77. It was bicentennial year, I think, that I was out there. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
See, I came around a few months after you decided you were going to be a musician. But my uncles, I have an uncle who is 9 years older than me and one that's 5 years older than me. So growing up, I spent a lot of time with them. And that's where the rock and metal thing came from, because that's what they listened to. Hey, Dominic, same question to you. Can you pinpoint when you decided you were going to be a musician?
The first record I ever owned, my my dad got me, and it was Elvis Presley live at Madison Square Garden. And I was like, Dad, this is the guy that does those movies after my cartoons on Saturdays. He's like, yeah, well, he sings better than he does the movies. So, you know, so I listened to it, and I was just like, wow. Because, you know, as a little kid, you know, I listened to music because of cartoons, you know, Bugs Bunny, Elmer Fudd, with, you know, playing Mozart in the background while they're trying to hunt the silly rabbit, you know. And but I think, even though I started off with a trumpet, because that's what was in school, you either like went into the marching band or you played football. And I was like, I'm not going to wear tights and a helmet, you know. So,
see, I did that.
yeah. I mean, yeah, my cousins did too. But I was like, I was more of like, I guess, an artsy kid. So I was like, nah, man, I don't want no one like slamming me on the ground, you know. And so I started doing that. But then once I really got into the guitar, I think it's my cousin had a guitar. I had no idea. And he brought me over to his house, and he played Crazy Train, Ozzy Osbourne, Randy Rhoads, you know, like note for notes. When the record just came out, and I was just like, wow, my cousin's like a guitar god. I had no idea. And so little by little, I was trying to figure out, how am I going to get rid of this trumpet to get a guitar? Because, you know? Like, that'll make me tons of money. And then a million years later, I moved to New Orleans, and I was like, man, I should have kept the trumpet. You know, I could have made tons of money.
Well, my son plays the trumpet.
That's a beautiful instrument, man. It was, you get to that age. Like, for me, I got to that age where it's just like, no one understands me, man. I'm dark and I'm deep, and I just need a guitar to, like, you know, get my anger out.
Does that mean eventually his Fender is going to come back out of the closet? Because he does have a guitar, and he was taking lessons.
Oh, well, but, see, that's cool. I say go with both, man. Because,
well, what happened was, he has two sisters that are 2 years younger than him. And before the pandemic, they started playing sports and cheerleading and having instrument lessons. And it got to the point where there just wasn't any time, and something had to go. And guitar was the thing that went.
But he kept the trumpet, huh?
Oh, yeah. He plays the trumpet. He can play the harmonica. He taught himself how to play the fife.
Oh, wow.
And he can play the piano.
And you know, the only fife is a really amazing instrument too, where a lot of that old, like, Delta Mississippi blues, that has a lot of that, like, the traditional, you know, before the recording days and things of that nature. That was one of those instruments that was in there, you know, in a lot of the old musics.
And then his sisters play the clarinet and the flute. So we have, like, our own band.
Yeah. I'm looking for some horns for a new tune I'm recording with Rocky. I should call you up, man. Get the kids involved. Come on, kids.
But they're Aiden is really good for his age, and the girls are pretty good.
Hey, man. Music is beautiful. You know, even if you don't become this, like, wizard of just having an instrument around the house, it wasn't something that I grew up with. I had to buy mine, you know. If I wanted something, it's like, no, if you want a guitar, you go buy it, you know. But I think it's a beautiful thing, you know, especially for kids. Even if you don't want to do it for a living, or you want to try to become some virtuoso, just to be able to pick up an instrument, play a little bit, you know, just to get your mind off the day or whatever, or whatever's troubling you. I think it's a beautiful thing.
I don't know how to play anything, so I love that they're expanding and learning.
In a sense, with you doing all this music,
I know, right?
You know, you have that music in you, and I children are the smartest ever. You know, it's just like, they're when we get older, we get dumber. You know, But like as a child, you know, I think it's just you're wide eyed and you're soaking all this stuff in. You know, your children probably see how passionate you are about music. So that's a good thing, man. It's all positivity, you know.
That's Aiden played not last Christmas, but the Christmas before at church along with the choir. And there was a high school band teacher there who came up to his teacher. So that would have been fifth grade. And the high school band teacher was like, that kid just played stuff that my seniors can't play. So.
Yeah, that's beautiful, man. Just, you know.
But if we could get him to practice any of those instruments, he'd be even better.
Maybe naturals. Maybe they don't need to practice. Maybe we're like, man, I got this, you know. you're always learning, I think, with an instrument. I mean, yeah. Anyone that I've known has said, man, I don't need to learn anything. I got this. It always kind of like, that kind of scared me. It's like, really? Okay, well, that's fine. You know, but I feel you're always learning. And, you know, and you're changing. People change, you know, what they go through, how they're living, what they're doing in their lives, who they have in their lives, you know. It changes things, and it's just like the music changes too. So you're always evolving, you know.
Jazz, I'm going to bring you back in on the conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, to his point, what he was saying about things changing and stuff, that and different instruments, when we were talking about that, that's part of the reason I try to play all these different instruments, because, you know, you grab the same guitar day after day, and I don't know about, you know, other people, but I start doing the same thing because there's comfort level there. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
I don't grow, but like all of a sudden you grab a violin or something, whether you know how to play it or not, you're like, well, now I got to retrain my mind. And then all of a sudden you hear something that you wouldn't have heard otherwise. And now you got a new song, and then you can go back to the guitar and kind of write it around that. So that's, you know, to your point of, that's kind of what I do a lot, and that's why I try to have so many weird tune instruments and stuff. There's one of them.
Oh, yeah, man. Very cool.
Yeah. So, anyways, what was your question? There's the
if
that's a strum stick that I play on a lot of half-wheel
strums. I love those things.
Yeah, they're great. So, anyway, sorry, Bill, I interrupted you.
All right, so if you had a moment to speak with a venue owner or another business owner that has been affected by the pandemic, what would you want to tell them as a musician?
Do I like said venue owner? Because that makes a big difference.
Yes.
There's a couple venue owners I'd like to tell something else. No. what would I like to tell them? Mm-hmm. I hate to say what I'm going to say because it's so damn cliche. Sorry, so darn cliche. Ugh, I can't believe I'm going to say this. Man, I can't bring myself to do it. We're all in this together. Oh, I said it. I hate that saying. I really do. I hate that saying because none of us are in this together.
Yeah, everybody's affected differently.
You got a different struggle than you have, than I have. Yeah. But as far as like the club owners and stuff, like the bands and the clubs,
they're symbiotic.
Thank you. That's what I'm trying to say. And,
yeah,
you know, some of the club owners, not all of them, but some of them, it's like you might want to remember that all the bands got together and tried to help you out.
Exactly.
Because there's a lot of, you know.
You know, everything that's going on, you know, like every time there's like some kind of dilemma, it seems like. Isn't it always musicians getting together and trying to do fundraisers? So now that the musicians are in trouble, as well as the venues, you know, who's doing a fundraiser for us? Nobody. Yeah. You know, we're on social media going, please buy my stuff.
Yeah.
By the way, DominicMusic.shop, buy my stuff.
.com.
Yeah. But that is true, right? I totally understand that. It is true. Like, if we are in this together, then let's really be in this together and let's help one another.
Right
now and after all this stuff, because I'm going to think positive and I'm going to think that I don't think it's going to blow over, but I think things will slowly get better. We'll learn how to deal with life as it is now, as it hopefully will be better in the future, and things like that. We'll learn how to deal with it. We'll adapt. We'll move forward, hopefully, you know. So I hope they realize that too.
Yeah, and you know, when I say part, you know, there's some truth to what I said, but I'm saying it jokingly as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, the bands and the clubs have to share the responsibility of making the scene happen.
You know? Yes.
This is my shark from Lucy's in New Orleans.
Oh, nice.
Right?
Hey, Jazz, so what you're saying is that they need to work together to build the scene?
To build the scene, yeah.
Yes.
If somebody would see, I can do that, too. Build the
scene. Yeah, see, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
But, you know, because like, what a lot of people don't realize, you know, some people are like, oh, the bands make money off of merchandise. Yeah, but you can, like, okay, if you're only playing in a 60-mile radius and you're playing the same area, sorry, so many black T-shirts people can buy after a while. You know, yeah. I've got so many band T-shirts. Like, I can't buy any more band T-shirts, and I've already got local band CDs. Like, so as a band, you know what? There's only so much you can do. You know,
the best bartender at say you own the club, that bartender that you love that keeps your club going because he's a rock star behind that bar or she's a rock star behind that bar. That's fantastic, but take their paycheck away. They won't be such a rock star for your club anymore.
Right.
They're just going in there for, oh, I'll just work for tips because, you know, tips was a big thing, especially in New Orleans. You know, I mean, tips saved me. But I always, you know, made at least a certain amount of money, you know, and sometimes more. And, you know, New Orleans, I didn't have to buy for any drinks and things like that, but you know, so but I mean, there was always that, you know, you always made a certain percentage or a flat fee plus your tips plus your merchandise, you know, because you know, unfortunately a lot of people don't buy music anymore, you know, and that, you know, and maybe that's the younger generation that thinks that they could get all that stuff for free, but you can't go to a grocery store and grab a 2-liter milk and walk out the door without getting tackled, you know? Yeah. So
what I would like to see, like, okay, this to seriously answer your question, Bill, like with clubs, what I would like to see happen is I'd like to see a couple of the clubs take an interest in the actual music scene. And what I mean by that is, can your band play and sell 10 tickets? And you know what I mean? Because it used to be, hey man, let's go to so-and-so club. I hear there's a new band. Well, who are they? I don't know, but let's check them out. They're new. All right, yeah, that sounds great. And that's what people did. Now, it's like, what time does your band play? I don't know. We're one of three bands. Yeah, but what time do you play? Because God forbid we go there before your band and stay 1 minute after your band finishes. You know, nobody's building up the scene. And what I'd like to see and what I'd like to tell the clubs is, like, why don't we do what we used to do? And I know what the response is, so I'll answer once I ask the question, but like, if you're a club that has bands, why are you not having a jam night on a Tuesday or Wednesday?
Right.
Then the next night, you got some new bands. These are the up and coming bands. Like, look, man, if you want to play a Friday or Saturday, you play Thursday, and you got to, you know, if you can't,
if you want to play in August, you have to play in October.
That's what I'm saying. And then, you know, then you
that's Rock for Life for those of you that didn't know what we were referring to there.
And then, you know, and then you got the bands that are the bigger bands on the Fridays and Saturdays, and you bring up the bands that are up and coming or opening for, you know, that to me just makes sense. That, you know,
well, like even Graffiti used to do that.
Right. I lived in Minneapolis for 11 years, and that's how you played any of the clubs.
That was First Avenue had that going on too.
7th Street Entry, all those.
Yeah. That was a big club, you know, and that was like the club, you know, for the longest time, you know.
Yeah, but I would like to see something like that. And I know their response is like, well, you know, there's not people coming out. Well, there could be, you know.
You have to give it a shot.
Yeah, you know.
And you have to give it time, too. You have to give it time. Just because, yeah. Like, okay, we're going to try it this week. Oh, didn't work. Okay, never mind. You can't do that. You know, you have to give it time. But I'm with you on that.
I'm about to say something that I probably shouldn't, considering what I do. But it's kind of the internet's fault.
It absolutely is the internet's fault.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just see it, you know, with everything anymore. Even music. I mean, yeah. Bless everyone for whatever type of music they're doing. But this kind of cookie cutter stuff that's coming out, there's so much just, I don't know, garbage coming out that it has no heart, no soul. I'm not saying that you have to be the best guitar player, the best singer, the best dancer, or the best this or that, but like, put your heart and soul into it. It's like all this soulless stuff that's coming out, that all the big yahoos, you know, that have the cash are putting out there and saying, look, isn't this great? And people are eating it up like Idiocracy, you know what I mean? It's just like they're just eating this stuff up. I was like, it's really terrible, man. It's like, really? I don't want to watch a 12-year-old half naked, you know, on screen. It's just my thing, man. You know, maybe this is some other weirdo or something. But it's like, it's a shame. Like, you know,
The other thing that kind of plays into all of this is, it used to be that you had to go to the studio to put out an album, and now you could be sitting in my living room and record what you need to put on an album. So it kind of took limits away, and anybody can record and say, here's my music.
Right. And there's a beauty to that, but also, I think it's really important, you know, all the years that I've recorded and performed and written, that's all I do is write, you know, but it's always been better to have someone around going, hey, Dominic, let's try this, or let's do that, or I could get this sound or that sound. It's good to have that other person. It's good to have someone that knows what they're doing. Even if you think that you might know in the back of your head how you want things to go, it's good to have someone with that knowledge and that love, you know, and hopefully they're on kind of like a same playing field as you are, like where you want your music, how you want your music to be directed and whatnot. I think it's good to have other people. I mean, yeah, you could do it on your own, but to me, it's always better to have other folks around and helping you out and, you know, and getting the sounds and, you know, that you really want, that you really, you know, and having someone there just saying, hey man, that was horrible. Do that again. You know, you know, when you're on your own, you're like, either you could be like, everything I did today was awesome, or you could be, everything I did today was terrible, you know. But it's good to have someone there like, going, this isn't so terrible and this isn't so awesome, you know. It's good to have that person, you know, and especially if you respect that person who's working with you, you know, because like, you know, being a songwriter, I know, you know, being a songwriter, sometimes they get a little too close to you and you don't want to, I don't want to take this part out, or maybe I should add this. It's good to have someone over there. You know, Rocky's like, he'll flat out tell me like, yeah, no. And then I'll go, okay, well, how about if we add all this other stuff? No, this song's done. But it's only like two acoustic guitars and me singing and stomping my foot. Yeah, that's all it needs. It's good. You know, things like that, that's worth its weight in gold, you know, to have that. And it's a lot funner to have, you know, other people around, you know, kind of giving a helping hand, even for the musician, I think, because they can then just concentrate on playing their part and getting it down to how they they're feeling it, you know, and not having to worry about all the buttons.
Hey guys,
I think it'll.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I was just going to say, I think in a lot of ways too, the art's been stripped from the canvas, because it used to be, if you bought an album, you bought it, you invested in it. You know, like you took it home, you looked at it, you had some deep listening. I remember like somebody like Yes, the Fragile album. That album's phenomenal. I remember when I first heard it, the only song I liked was Roundabout. It you know, I had to invest time into listening to it to understand what they were doing. It's a great album. It's one of my favorite albums of all time.
Right.
But like, I don't think we have that nowadays because it's such a cookie cutter process and quantizing and everything else.
Well, and that, and you can buy one track off the album.
Right. But the thing is, you don't even have to buy it. You just get it on down, you know, on Amazon, but, or, you know, on Prime or what have you. But there's so much of it being thrown at you. And not only was there the investment from the listening side of it, you know, sitting at home, looking at the album, reading the liner notes and all that.
Right.
But you, when you bought something back then, maybe you didn't like it necessarily, but you knew that, like, wow, somebody believed in this enough to put a bunch of money into it, because you had to go through the process of recording it. So
yeah,
you had to be in a big studio. You had to have the resources. So like, at least you knew you were getting a certain level of
a quality,
if you will.
Yeah.
You know, and nowadays it's like, okay, well, yeah,
they recorded it on their cell phone.
Yeah. And then that's the other thing too. You know, there's nothing better than like, I'm listening to it here on these speakers, but everybody else listens to it on these little speakers, you know?
Yeah. It's like,
oh, well, but it is what it is. I mean,
I miss the days of like, you know, it's Tuesday. I have $7.99 in my pocket. I'm running to go get the new release, that one record. Yeah. And if we were lucky enough, we had a little bit of extra money, we would, like me and my friends, we'd go. Tuesday was like record day, right? So it was like we put like our little extra change together and be like, okay, this week you could pick out the record. And we literally would go, we'd buy the records that we wanted to buy. And of course, we all shared each other's records because we couldn't buy them, all of them, right? So everybody bought one that they wanted and we all shared it for a month or two. But we'd have that extra little change that we had all together, and we'd literally have one person every week go and buy a record just for the album cover. Now sometimes it was brilliant and sometimes not so much, you know,
right?
But I mean, we went out on a limb because there wasn't all that like, oh, buy this now, you know. It's, you went to the record store and you looked and you dug through everything, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, this album cover's cool. Who is it? I have no idea. Let's give it a shot, you know?
Yeah.
I miss that part of it too. I do.
Hey guys, I have one more question for you, and then I'm going to go ahead and play Brian and let everybody hear what he had to say.
Right on.
When the people that already have their tickets,
yes,
go to watch the show tomorrow, and those of them that we're watching tonight that are going to buy their tickets, at sos2020pgh.org/concerts, which is there. It's also scrolling behind Jazz or below Jazz, but he doesn't know it. What are they going to, what should they expect to see when each of you are on stage? Like, what are they going to hear? What are they going to see?
You want to go ahead?
You go first. Wait, I'll go first. I'm like the Brady Bunch.
Yeah. Who's Alice? I guess
Hollywood Square.
But well, I'm excited because it'll be great to, you know, get out there and play again. But I'm going to be playing new songs, so hopefully I don't mess them up. But even if I do, you guys won't know. So I'll know. But I'm playing some of the new songs that I recorded with Rocky Lamondi, producing them. So hopefully they go well. And maybe if I have enough time, I'll play one from the Get Your Soul Right record. But it's, you know, it's what I've been doing in New Orleans for over 20 years. It's what I plan on doing back home here in Pittsburgh for ever and ever too. You know, it's all I need for my setup is my Dobro, my acoustic, my chair, because I sit these days when I play. It's nice getting old sometimes. and you know, and a piece of wood to stomp on. And so it's going to be a lot of slide guitar and hoot and hollering and foot stomping type of stuff. You know, I'm going to try to make as much noise as possible for one guy.
And I'll be in the audience like, yeah,
yeah, yeah, woo. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. We're all going to be getting our little setup time and all that stuff. So it'll, you know, it'll be fun. And it is for a great cause, you know. So I just can't wait till we could do one of these things again. And it'll be like, all right, I'm playing at, you know,
the live venue.
Yeah, I actually do have a gig. What is it? Next Tuesday, it's the 16th at Jurgles. So I'm doing a little acoustic thing there at Jurgles from 7 to 9. So that'll be fun to get back. I've been there to go see the Boister Boys and Royal Honey played as well. And I had a good time. That venue wasn't around when I left Pittsburgh to go to New Orleans. So it, you know, it'll be fun. I'm grateful to have a gig, you know. Hopefully we could get more, right?
And that is a great, Jurgles is a great venue. That's a great place to see a band.
Yeah, I mean, I was really pleasantly surprised. I was just like, wow, you know, yeah. Beyond the trees is this big giant building. I was like, what is that?
Okay, Jazz, what are we going to hear and see from Half Wheel?
Well, we're going to be playing songs off of the Good Days album. And I think the biggest, maybe it's not that big of a surprise, but Sean Nestor he's traded in his guitar and he's playing tambourine and shaker instead. And that's it. I'm playing the 12 string and singing right beside him.
I personally can't wait.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a fun time, you know?
Yeah. It's a great little spot too.
What's that?
It's a great little spot. You know, that how they have it all set up. It's really beautiful little spot, man.
Yeah, and if any of your listeners or viewers hasn't seen it, the production's really pretty spot on good. I mean, it sounded like I watched it last week, and then I missed it the first week because all I've been doing is skiing since I have a lot of free time.
I have been seeing those photos.
Right? So I was thinking about going tomorrow morning before we play, and I'm like, don't do it because I'll fall and break my arm. You know, I ski all year, have them fall down, and then tomorrow I'll break my arm before we play. But in the first week, you know, they had more of the punk bands. They had Middle Finger Punk. Middle Finger Punk.
Middle Finger.
The Cheats.
The Cheats. And
Royal Honey.
They were the first.
Royal Honey, not so much punk, but the other two.
No, but like that's what's cool with what they're doing. Like the production and the shows, instead of having like a mix match all within one, it's kind of like that was more of like a punk and just straight ahead, just in your face rock. And then last week was more, I don't want to say like, what would you say? Like, you know, just traditional rock with the bands. I think this week coming up is a little bit more of the alternative side of things. For lack of a better word, maybe.
Not necessarily alternative rock, but alternative to what we've been watching.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a good time. The production's it sounded great. It looked great. It's definitely like, come on, $10. I mean, I spend more on temporary tattoos in a year than I spend on that show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know.
That's a pack of cigarettes, man.
Right, exactly. But it is pretty cool, and they do it really well. They, you know, they have some. They had some. I don't know if it'd be interviews, but some people in the scene that spoke in between the bands, and then they played videos and stuff. So it's really, right. I mean, hats off to them. It's really well done. What I would like to see is whenever the shows do come back in full force, let's get all these bands together and have one night, and like each band just plays like 10 or 15 minutes and do it all over again in a real live environment. How cool would that
be? That would be beautiful. I think the more the merrier, you know, I like the fact that, you know, there's a lot of different music out there. And I know that I haven't been in town for a long time, but I know even back in the day, you know what I mean? I remember like Rusted Root playing coffee houses, you know?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's like, wow, that band sold out Graffiti. Oh, wait a minute. They sold out Graffiti 3 nights in a row. You know, you know, I mean, and just a lot of different bands, and, you know, Norm Nardini playing, you know, down in the decade, or like I've seen so many different blues bands like playing at Moondogs even, you know, so and of course the punk bands coming in, you know, so I would love to see something like that, a bunch of different bands and all different types of music, because we're all out there playing music, and we're all trying to, you know, let's really try to support one another and try to support the venues, and hopefully the venues support us as well.
Hey, you know, I think that would actually help the scene too, because it, you know, there's so many bands that are playing very similar styles. You know, some of the clubs take a chance on a band that plays, you know, I mean, cause listen, Halfwell, we're playing stuff that's like, it's stuff I grew up playing. You know what I mean? Like, we're not, you know, I'm playing a 12 string acoustic the whole night.
Right. You
know? And so that's a little bit different, but hopefully people enjoy it. You know, I like all kinds of stuff. I mean, I play in a heavy metal band, you know, a couple different ones, but
Homicide Bill, right?
I've heard some of it. Yeah.
You know,
you didn't catch that.
What'd you say?
I said Homicide Bill, right?
Homicide Bill.
Bill Damiano's Homicide Black, featuring songs written, recorded, and produced by Bill Damiano. Yes.
I can't do any of that, but that's the running joke. In fact, on their website last night, I replaced the bass player's picture with mine.
Poor Ralph. Ralph, we love you, Ralph. If you're watching, even if you're not watching, we still love you. Good sport. We are, speaking of that, not to do a shameless plug for Homicide Black, but we are starting some new songs this upcoming week.
So. Nice.
Oh, fantastic.
So halfwheelband.com, dominicmusic.shop.
Yes.
And sos2020pgh.org/concerts for the tickets. For the song, get rid of the /concerts and check out everything else.
Right.
So what we're going to do now, first I want to thank you guys for hanging out with me.
Thank you so much, brother.
And
thank you.
What we're going to do now, you guys can hang out for a moment. I'm going to go ahead and we pre-recorded Brian from the Red Line, so I'm going to bring him up so everybody can watch, but not live. So if you're going to try and interact with him, it's not going to work because he's at practice. All right, so here's Brian. With me now on the SOS PGH Concert Series pre-show interview is Brian from the Red Lines. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Bill.
Hey, I'll just get this question out of the way right off the bat. What drew you and your band to the SOS 2020 song and the SOS PGH Concert Series? See, I'm making the blooper reel already.
Well, two separate things. First of all, was the us being asked to participate in the song, and we were asked by both Eric Rogers from Royal Honey and Rocky LaMonde from Borstal Boys, to whom which we are friends with both of those guys and like both their bands. We actually never played with Royal Honey yet, but so we have two friends ask us to do the same thing, and it's, you know, it's always an honor to be asked to lend your talents to something. You know, I always like other people to help us out doing stuff, usually live on stage, sometimes in a recording studio setting. So it's great to be able to accept someone else asking you to be a part of whatever it is they're doing. And of course, it's a great cause. So it's something that every musician in this town, in the world, can, you know, should be a no-brainer. So cool. So that was for the song. For the series, Again, almost a no-brainer. You know, no one's getting a lot of opportunities to play, and you're being given an opportunity to play at what was supposed to be a new venue, which didn't actually get to happen because of COVID, and that's the room. I think it's called the Next Door Cafe, right beside Pianos and Stuff, as part of Pianos and Stuff. So you get to play in there, do the live stream, help the Save Their Stages Act, and again, you know, participate in something that your friends put together.
I'm already rearranging the script I sent you.
All right.
So you mentioned new venues, and recently you were on the bill for the Southern Fried Rock Show, which was for one of our sponsors, Shady Lady.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Shady Lady Productions, which is on your sweatshirt.
Yes, sorry. I'm looking at myself on camera and I get confused.
I know, I do that all the time. That's why when you look in the video, anything that needs pointed at is below you, because then I can just go, it's down there.
That didn't look good.
So you were there at what is a new venue, or at least new venue on my radar, which is the Freeport Event Center.
And I think it is a new venue.
What was it like there? Because I'm sure there are a lot of musicians that were like, oh, wait, there's people playing somewhere that I didn't know about.
Well, it's a high school or middle school, or I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was for Freeport, I believe. So it was dark when I got there, lots of cars, so I couldn't really, you know, it looked like a high school building when I got there, and I entered through the back, so I didn't really get a good aesthetic of the building as a whole, per se, but it was nice. You know, it's an auditorium, so there's seating, a nice big stage, lots of room outside behind the auditorium to set up merch and for vendors or whatever. But yeah, it could be a good venue in the area.
What did you think of the other bands that were on the bill with you? I know that's
kind of could be a weird question sometimes.
That is. Let me man, I should have worded that differently.
Well, I got there. The first band, Rust Project, was already playing, and then Dinner Bell Road, which is actually the first time I got to see them. I've seen Cook play by himself a few times at other gigs, and I think I've seen Doppler Effect before, but they were actually very different than what I remember, so I think maybe I didn't see them, but thought I did. They were probably at a Southern Fried Rock show before that they played at a long time ago, and I think I must have thought they were a different band. So I think that was the first time I saw them as well. Rust Project, like, I really couldn't give you a good say much about that, because I was, you know, I was loading
your equipment in.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I could hear them, but wasn't really paying attention all that much.
Was it the full band or the duo? Do you know?
That was full band. Okay. Yeah, there was.
I actually just interviewed them on the Pennsylvania Rock Show.
Okay. All right. I heard them on the Grassroots show a few weeks ago, but yeah, it was definitely at least four people. It sounded fine. Didn't make me cringe. And Dinner Bell Road, first time I've gotten to see Dinner Bell Road as a band. Honestly, it's not my style of music. I'm not a big country fan. You know, I like old school country, to which they lean that way, I believe, at times, but you know, I'm more of an alt country type of guy. And if I recall, they were more laid back. But I also realized that we actually sell a lot more merchandise for the Red Lines when we stay at our merch table, which unfortunately had to be outside of the auditorium. So at best, I would just get to, you know, move over 20 paces and kind of
look through a door,
watch for a little bit. So a lot of it was just getting to listen. And when you're not actually getting to see the band, you end up talking to people or zoning out, looking at your phone, because you can't watch the band. And with COVID in effect, I try not to get involved in too many conversations with people that I'm not familiar with. Tony and I were there hanging out at the merch table, taking turns, and we'd be there sometimes by ourselves or together. So we'd chat and stuff, but I like them. It was good to see I didn't realize Zach Robioto. I'm not sure how you pronounce his last name, but he was playing with Hawkeyes before. I didn't realize he was with the Inner Bell Road. Sam Stuckey, who I know from his bluegrass band, didn't realize he was playing bass. I knew he did something with the band. I just assumed it was banjo or something. I don't know. So I was surprised to actually see him playing bass. But and then the Doppler Effect were really good. I had no idea what they were like, to be honest. They were really good musicians. But it was a good show. Anything done by Shady Lady in Utah is always good turnout, always fun, always a positive thing. So I was glad to be a part of it.
So what have the Red Lines been doing during the limitations of the pandemic besides playing the Southern Fried Rock show?
Well, for the first few months, we didn't get together. Everyone was still scared. As time went on, you know, that lightened up and we started getting together. But for the first few months, we did some Zoom meetings. We actually recorded one and sat there and talked to each other for an hour and a half and let people watch us talk. We basically interviewed each other. We just wanted to do something that got us out there and was able to have fans engage with us if they want. You know, some people asked questions on the Facebook comments and we'd answer them. And so we just kind of interviewed each other. And we did a few live streams when we did start getting together, acoustic and electric. We did some writing while we were apart. I'd came up with a few starts of songs and I would record them on my phone, just send them over to people, say, hey, here's what I worked on, in this key, these chords, whatever. Just kind of be familiar with it so that when we do get back together, we can kind of be a little ahead of me just bringing it to everybody. You'd have some type of idea what you want to do, what it sounds like, that kind of thing. So we actually, I think we got about three songs written over the time period that we weren't actually able to get together. So when we got together, you know, we had some new stuff to work on. And we used that time to not be pressured to have to keep our skills sharp on our current songs, to be able to play them out well when we do have gigs. So we did a lot of writing and we did some recording in our basement, got that to the point where we're doing that a little bit better. We released some covers. We released Seven Nation Army from the White Stripes, recorded that in the basement, took it to the last place we did our recording at, which was Jake Hanner in his basement studio in Gibsonia. He would mix it, master it. And then we did Molly's Chambers by Kings of Leon. I think that was, we had hopes of doing one a month, but there was no way we could keep up with that schedule. It didn't work out, but it did enable us to put some songs in between our album single releases, which we dragged out from April 2020 to December. We tried to release a song every month and then put those non-album cover singles in between there. I think there was maybe 2 months where we didn't get to release something, but so we had a bunch of stuff that we knew we had because we were leading up to this album release for January. So and we're just trying something different.
Bones Under the Morning Sun is the title of that, correct?
Yes, it is. 1 second here. I'm going to disappear real quick. You can still hear me, though.
We can. We can also now see the back of the Shady Lady Studio. Oh, vinyl.
Can't really see too well because of the glare. But Bones Under the Morning Sun. All right, sorry about that, Bill.
That's okay.
That was it.
So that was vinyl. Did you release it on anything else?
Yeah, we have CD and vinyl, and of course it's available for download, Bandcamp, stream it. So
so basically you had it ready right as the shutdown started going into full effect.
I think we wrapped up recording in February of 2020. And for that we recorded five new songs. I shouldn't say five new songs. We recorded five songs and coupled it with five older songs that we had previously released digitally only. So we wanted to give that a proper release. I really just wanted to get everything that we have on vinyl. And we didn't want to do another 10-inch. The last EP we did, we put out on vinyl, and we did 10-inch. And that's actually pretty expensive. We did 50 of those, and we had to end up printing the covers ourselves. And I still got a lot of those covers to make in my basement, and it sucks. And I don't want to ever do that again. So we went the 12-inch route this time and had a company do the whole thing. So it was expensive. Hopefully we sell enough to at least recuperate most of that money back.
I think I definitely have a song off of that album. I can't remember what you sent me, though.
I don't remember either. Panic Attack, maybe?
No. Is it something with heart in it, maybe?
Not the title. Hurt? Belly Full of
That's
Hurt.
That's it, Belly Full of Hurt. That's what I have.
Yeah, we actually have that on vinyl, too. We did a 7-inch project. I don't want to disappear again, but...
maybe I don't have anything off the new one. What are the tracks on the new one?
In order, Panic Attack, Snake, Belly Full of Hurt, We Were Young, This Empty House, Not Today, County Road, Murky Water, Broken Man, Bad Moon Rising, and Down to the River. So the new songs off of that were Panic Attack, Belly Full of Hurt, Murky Water, Broken Man, Bad Moon Rising, which is a CCR cover, and Down to the River. I thought I sent you something recently.
So I have Belly Full of Hurt, and I have County Road. I have both of those. And then, so we're just going to keep going out of order here since we're talking about the album. Where can the people that are tuned in tonight find your music online?
Online, I would say our website, theredlines.us. You can get to it from there. It's a menu up top. Suederecords.com, I think, is the record address. It's Tony's record label. And Bandcamp. If you don't stream it, whatever streaming service that you use, all the popular ones, all the non-popular ones out there everywhere. And we also have it physical copies around the area as well.
So now we're going to get into a little bit of the Pennsylvania rock show type questions, which you've experienced once. If you ended up on that proverbial bench where you can sit and talk to anyone in the history of time, what musician would you want to sit down and talk to for an hour? And what's the first question you would ask them?
That's rough, because I will tell you, I've never been one for idols. There's never been, and this may sound super odd to every musician, but there's never ever been one person that I've idolized. But with that said, I do have favorite bands and stuff, to which two of those would be The Doors and Bob Marley. So I'd have to go the Jim Morrison or Bob Marley route. Although I'm not sure that talking to Jim Morrison would be beneficial.
He might not know what you're talking about.
Right. So, I feel like if I asked him what his favorite color is, I'd be there for an hour and probably wouldn't get the answer. So let's say Bob Marley then. And I'd ask him, I have no idea, so I'm just going to come up with something. Has there ever been a day that you haven't smoked weed? That's the best I can come up with right now.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there were probably when he was younger.
Okay. Yeah. I'd have to.
But
maybe give an age limit on that or something.
Right. So this next question I ask pretty much every show that I do, whether it's an SOS PGH concert pre-interview, the Pennsylvania Rock Show, and like every other three questions in a song. I'm trying to get Dave Grohl to show up on the Pennsylvania Rock Show. And
I was thinking about that the other day.
And it's not working. His management team didn't even respond to my email. So
what was your email?
I told him what my show was about and why I wanted to talk to him, and I got nothing in response at all.
Has anybody went the Twitter route of like actually trying to reach him specifically?
I have not.
I think somebody simply just needs to tweet, hey, because I don't know if you realize, but there's a t-shirt waiting for you here in Pittsburgh, you know, for the Save Our Stages Act. And it's just sitting here, taking up space on my dining room table. Can we please come get this damn thing?
I forgot about them doing that too. So, yeah. I can use that as a way to get in contact with them.
Just, hey, at least, you know, maybe he'll see it. Who knows?
I had been tagging the Foo Fighters in my posts on Facebook, which also didn't work.
Yeah, I think we need to tweet Dave Grohl specifically.
So the question, though, is the Foo Fighters are known for bringing people up on stage and letting them play with them. So who would be your Dave Grohl? In other words, what band would you want to go up on stage with?
What band would I want to go up on stage with? Would I be singing? Would I be playing?
Whatever you want to do.
Whatever I want to do. I could pick so many. I'd have to say I'd probably go on stage with Van Morrison. I pick him because he's still alive and playing. And he's also one of my favorites. So I'd have to go up on an old school Van Morrison song, maybe Tupelo Honey or something like that.
Kind of also along the lines of those two questions. There have been a lot of rockumentaries made recently, and two of my favorites are The Dirt and Bohemian Rhapsody, which I finally watched this weekend.
Oh, I haven't watched Bohemian Rhapsody yet. I kind of forgot about it, actually.
If you could star in a rockumentary as any musician, who would you want to play and why?
Well, a lot of people say I either look, which I do not agree with. I can understand the sound like to some extent, but not that that would be my pick. But for that one, it would be Caleb Followill from Kings of Leon. So that's a possibility if you want to go with something where I might actually be able to pull off looking like someone like that. But if I had my choice, I don't know. We'll go with Lucero on that one, maybe. I don't know if you're familiar with them. They're kind of like an alt-country rock band, is how I just sum that up quickly, I guess.
I'm going to have to look them up when we're done.
All right. I can quickly grab a... Hold on 1 second here. Let me get my ears on again. Here's a 2012 Lucero album cover. It was within my grasp as I just recently got it. It's in my I Need to Listen to This a Lot More pile.
That reminds me of... now I'm going to blank on their name. I can't remember the band name.
What reminded you of it?
The album cover reminds me of one of their album covers. It's a local band. Rich Kulbacki is in it. And Kiki and her sister, whose name I can't remember, and their twins. I can't remember. I'm going to look it up when we're done and be like, I can't believe you didn't remember that. But
I say Lucero just because we both like the white plain white beater look, jeans, white, you know, t-shirt.
So. All right, so I have one last question for you.
Okay.
What can viewers expect to hear and see from the Red Lines tomorrow on the Week 3 SOS PGH Concert Series?
You can expect to hear back-to-back songs. I don't plan on talking a lot. We're just going to try to blast out as many tunes as possible in 20 minutes. Just keep it moving. Can expect it to be fun, upbeat, no slow songs planned. Well, Bellyful Hurt's kind of moderate, but you'll hear Bellyful Hurt. Yeah, just some, yeah, that's all I got.
Hey, Brian.
A quick run through of some Red Lines tunes. Not a lot of fat there.
So for those of you that are tuned in, make sure you go to theredlines.us for information about the band. And don't forget to go purchase tickets for the show. It's 6 p.m. tomorrow. You can go to sos2020pgh.org/concerts. There are two options. You can pay $3 for just tomorrow's show, or you can pay $10 and get access to tomorrow's show, next week's show, and video on demand versions of the first two episodes, as well as music videos from a lot of Pittsburgh bands. I went the $10 route. I think it's the way to go. More money heads to Neva, and you get access to all kinds of local music. So make sure you check that out.
That's the route I went, and I still have not even got to complete the first show, which is shame on me. But
well, you have a year. You'll get them.
I was just trying to keep up with them, but didn't work.
Well, I listened last week. I listened to Blackridge while I was driving home from work and put it up on my phone and threw it on the seat.
I was doing it. We had practice. We had practice last two Thursdays, but I watched the Blackridge set as I was completing making dinner and eating dinner right before practice. So. And then I had it up during practice, which I really didn't get to pay much attention to. I was watching it.
That's why the video on demand option is there.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it, but I listened to it. So if we can put us together, and there's one viewer.
There you go.
Hey, so make sure you check out the Red Lines, Half Wheel, and Dominic tomorrow, February 11th, 6 p.m. You can get your tickets at sos2020pgh.org/concerts, which is currently scrolling right below Brian. And once again, check out theredlines.us and all the sponsors for this concert series: Nextdoor Cafe, Shady Lady Studio, or Shady Lady Productions, The Grassroots Show on the Rock Station 97.7 FM, Second Scene, 10 Band Productions, Endeavor After LLC, Build the Scene. I'm waiting for mine to come in the mail.
I'm going to try to help get it in places in Butler. So,
The Rhythm 19 Fund, The Vault Recording Studio, InStuff Music, Alexis Art and Design, and Flying Scooter Productions. There, I got them all in.
I'm not going to attempt to do that tomorrow.
Well, here's the difference. The screen that I can see that you don't has all the logos.
All right. Mine will be a cover all. So you can expect that tomorrow.
All right.
Hey, thank you for all your work on this, Bill.
No problem. It aligns right with what I'm doing with Build the Scene. So it was a no brainer. Okay. Just like you said, they asked me, I'm like, yep, I'm in.
Cool. Well, thank you.
But hey, right, so with that said, Brian and I are going to head off into the evening. The rest of you can go check out local music while you await tomorrow's show. We'll see you later.
Bye.